Truly one day, dear friends, if you haven't bowed down now, you will bow down when you stand before our King in heaven. If you would, take the Word of God, turn with us to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Old preacher one day said that it was a sin to drink coffee. And then he looked in the Bible and he said, uh-oh, I guess I was wrong because the Bible says he brews. Well, if you didn't get that one, it'll catch up with you on your way home. Beginning in verse 22 of chapter 12, let's begin reading. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace today, I just want to say thank you so much, Lord. Father, thank you for laying down a pattern and a path for us, Lord, that we can follow and trust in you. And Lord, as we follow that path, there are things on life that, Lord, we'll come in contact with. Father, there'll be things that we find ourselves doing that we shouldn't do, and find ourselves walking off the path and trying to get back on. But Father, there's always a signpost that leads us back, a spiritual signpost that your Holy Spirit brings into our focus, that we might get back on that path and shine for you once again. So Father, today I pray, Lord, that you would bless this lesson today. I pray, Father, that you would undergird me and strengthen me, Father, strengthen my voice, strengthen my mind. And Father, as we preach this lesson today, I pray that you would help it to speak to the hearts of these people. And Father, those listening by way of Facebook today, I pray for them. And I ask God that you would speak to them and help them, Lord, to hear that message as well. And then, Father, as we leave this place later on, may we, Father, stand as glorified saints, knowing that we're saved and we're on our way to that beautiful place called heaven. Because, Father, you've prepared it for us. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask this prayer. Amen. You may be seated. When Ronald Reagan was running for the governorship of California, a woman confronted him in one of the times that he was politicking. And she berated him very severely. And finally she said to him, she said, "I wouldn't vote for you if you were St. Peter." He smiled and simply replied, "Lady, if I were St. Peter, you wouldn't be living in my district." Now, let me ask you this question. What do you know about St. Peter's district? Well, anyone who is planning to go to St. Peter's district would certainly want to know something about the place, right? Amen. If we are planning to live there, we ought to be informed as possible when we get there, and even before we get there. Amen. You see, we should be fascinated with the fact and the subject of heaven. How much do you think about heaven today? I don't know about you, but here lately I've been thinking about it a whole lot. Heaven's been on my mind. And how much do you know about heaven? J.C. Ryle, the British theologian, he wrote this. He says, "I pity the man who never thinks about heaven. How much do you know about the place where we'll be living in that painless, timeless, safety place, a place that is sinless, a place that is deathless, a place that is joyful for all eternity?" You see, in my ministry over the years, it's taken me to a couple of different countries in this world. And before I visited this new country, I learned a little something about it. I remember the first time I went to Israel, we were going to stop over at Amman, Jordan. That's where we went to first. And I remember getting out my map and seeing where Amman, Jordan was and seeing all the things around it. I wanted to learn about that area. And when we left Amman, Jordan, we went down to the Dead Sea. And there's a signpost there as you keep going down and down and down and down. There's a signpost there that says the Dead Sea, and it gives the elevation of it and tells you what it is, the lowest point on earth. And I think today when we think of deadness, we think of death, that is the lowest point on earth, dear friends. But for the child of God, it's not just a low point. It is also a highlight as well, because that highlight brings them into a place and an understanding and a knowledge that they're going to a place that is far better than the place that they have been in.
Amen.
Now, don't get me wrong. God has created this world and He has blessed this world. He has given us so many things here. I mean, look outside today. Yesterday it was foggy and raining, and then the sun came out yesterday afternoon, and now we have the beautiful sun shining today. I looked on the weather report last night, and it said we're going to be 60 degrees today. Now, next week it might be 30 and snowing, but today it's going to be 60. Amen? You see, God has given us so many blessings, so many beautiful things to see. I was in my office here the other night, and we're actually in the evening right before it got dark, and I leaned back in my chair and I looked out my window and I looked across the road over there, those beautiful mountains over there. God has given us so much. Now, one of these days we're going to immigrate to a new country, and it's going to be such a blessing. And by the way, we're not just going there for a visit, but we're going there for all eternity. And the Bible tells us that already our names have been written there if you've been saved. Our inheritance is there. 1 Peter tells us that. And our citizenship is there. The Word of God shares that with us. But what can we do and what can we know about that country called heaven? I want to learn all I can about it. Amen. I want to study the Word of God and find out, just like I studied about Amman, Jordan and Israel, I want to study about heaven and find out as much as I can about heaven. And the best way to find out about it is to learn from someone who has already seen into it. Right? If you want to know something about a place, ask somebody who's been there. Right? We are planning on this trip to the Ark. Planning on this trip to the Creation Museum. And I'm going to tell you, I've been there, and it's a great place. I'm thankful for the men and the people who have had the idea for this and brought it into fruition, and then it became something that people could come to. Yes, it costs a little bit of money to go, but dear friends, if you can go to it, I'll guarantee you will not be wishing that you hadn't gone. So whatever you can do to go, you make sure you get on that bus with us, because it's going to be a good time. As we discuss the subject of heaven this morning, I want you to think about the reality of heaven. I want you to think about the revelation of heaven. And I want you to think then, lastly, about the residence of heaven. And I'm going to speak to you today on this subject, heaven, a prepared place for prepared people. Wow. First of all, I want us to look at the reality of heaven today. Excuse me. Take your Bibles and turn with us now to chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. In chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, I want you to look down to verse 10 this morning. In verse 10, and we'll read through verse 17, he says this, "And he carried me," excuse me, "and he carried me away into the Spirit in a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, and most precious, even like jasper, stone, clear as crystal. and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And on the wall the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth, 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. The reality of heaven. There are some people today that do not believe in heaven. They do not believe in a place called hell. Now, this is what John saw when the angel took him to heaven. And he looked into heaven. He saw that heavenly city. He saw the blessedness there. He saw all the things that was there. Now, this information is not some religious myth today or some fancifulness like some suppose it to be, but we believe today, amen? We believe and we trust in this place called heaven. We also believe and know that there's a place called hell. Heaven is a real place. Now, what do these dimensions tell us about that eternal city? Well, first, they confirm that it is indeed a place. Heaven is a real place today. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the holy city, there in verses 1 and 2. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, there in John chapter 14 and verse 2. So first of all, it shows us the reality that it's a real place. But secondly, it confirms that heaven is a real place. Not just does it show it to us, but it also confirms it. Both the materials that are used in it and the dimensions indicate that it is real. Only a real place has foundations, by the way. Only a real place has gates. Only a real place has walls that can be measured. It was not some vision that John saw that day. It was not some little drug-induced thought that he had. It was real. Heaven is not a condition or a state of being. It is not nirvana. It is not the happy hunting ground, as the Indians used to say. It is not a cold expanse of mist and clouds where ghosts float around. It is a definite destination of those that are saved today. It is a lovely location today. Why would God give us measurements of a place if it didn't exist? There's nothing in God's Word that God has put in here that is false. And so if we get to Revelation and we read the book of Revelation and we say that we do not believe in heaven, then why would God give us the dimensions of a place that is not real, especially based upon the fact that there's nothing in His Word that is false? In 1 Kings, we have a very interesting statement made by Solomon. In his prayer, he prays this, Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. If God exists, then heaven exists too. God is real. Jesus is real. The Holy Spirit is real. Heaven is real as you and I are today. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, Jesus was really on this earth. It's not just in our Bible, dear friends, that Jesus was on this earth. It's in the history books. He is a real person who was here. He was flesh and blood and bone just like you and I. He had a brain like us. He had a mouth like us, eyes like us, and ears like us. Maybe he had a little more hair than some of you do, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. That's neither here nor there. Okay, anyway. And then thirdly, let me point this out to you. Heaven, it says that not only is it a real place, and it confirms that real place, but it confirms the fact that it's a very large place. Jesus said, In my Father's house are many mansions. By the way, he says many mansions, not rooms. A mansion has several rooms, but the Lord tells us that as many mansions. A mansion is a whole lot bigger than a room, amen? And I'm looking for my mansion when I get there. I'm not looking for your room. So heaven is a large place. It has to be a large place to have many mansions, right? The Bible explains it that the city actually is a cube. The length and the breadth and the height, it actually equals out to 1,400 miles. It's a city as wide and as high and as long as from the Mexican border to the Canadian border. Look out for those Mexicans. This is 40 times bigger than England, 15,000 times bigger than London. It is 10 times as big as France or Germany, and far larger than India. It's big enough to encompass a bunch of people. Amen. But as big as it is, I'm afraid that there's some that will not go there, because they've not believed, they've not trusted in Jesus Christ. They've not accepted the fact that heaven is real and Jesus is real and He has paid the payment for our sins. Now, if you're inclined to doubt, remember this, that God is a great God. Amen. And I take a look at the universe as I walked outside last night and looked up in the sky. Here this past week, you know, the moon's been getting pretty bright on us, hasn't it? Until the clouds covered it up. But it was still there. The stars were still up there. And I think about the fact that God just spoke and the stars were there. God just spoke and the planets were there. You say, oh, preacher, is there life on other planets? The only one that God says there's life on is the one that we're living in right now. Amen? I guess I better walk back over here. I forgot to put that silly microphone on this morning. I was wondering why my glasses were staying on a little better today. Number two. We've looked at the reality of heaven. I want us to look now at the regions of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a kingdom on earth, if you will. It has different regions and described in various terms. The descriptions of heaven reveal that heaven is a house. It's also a city. It's also a country. Heaven is called a house. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Some people are disoriented, you know, sometimes in a house, especially a large house. And they can't remember, was I going upstairs or was I coming downstairs? I can't remember which one, you know. We lived in a house one time that had three floors. And sometimes when we took our laundry, the laundry room was on the second floor. And when we would take our laundry up, sometimes I would think, now wait a minute, am I going all the way up or just to the second floor? Sometimes you'd forget, you know. So you get a little disoriented. But God tells us that heaven is a place that is a house that we won't get disoriented in because He's there. So heaven is called a house, but heaven is also called a city. John said, "I, John, saw the city, New Jerusalem." John saw a holy city. A holy city that we can live in, that to many people today, it would be attractive. I mean, how would you like to walk on streets that are made of gold? I mean, we wear gold around our necks and on our fingers, and Lord bless you if you wear it in your nose and stuff like that. But anyway, okay, I wonder sometimes how you wipe your nose when you got them things there. And I'm not picking on you, okay? Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying gold is something that we think is very precious today. But the Lord's using it for pavement in heaven. Amen? So He gave us gold here, but up there is pavement. And what we use for pavement today out there, Brother Ed can tell you all about that. I don't know. It looks different in some places, you know. But it's called a city. It's called a house. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's called a country. Verse 16 says, "They desire a better country that is an heavenly country." Oh, what a blessing. You see, now, today some people are fond of country life, right? Y'all know me. I'm from the South. I'm a country boy. I was raised on a farm. And you can tell it when you look at me and when you listen to me. I like the country. I would much rather live in the country than I would live in a big city. I've been to New York City, and please do not move me there, you know. I've been to Atlanta, Georgia, and I've been on the back streets of Atlanta, Georgia, and it might be pretty on the first streets, but on the back streets, it's dirty, it's filthy, there's trash everywhere. I don't want to live in a city. I like the country. Amen. I'm kind of like that show that used to come on years ago called Green Acres, you know. Farm life is the living for me, you know. Not what was it, Zsa Gabor, or was it Eva Gabor? Oh, thank you so much. I knew, Bill, I knew you would know that. Thirdly, they do confirm it as a large place. As we look at the regions of heaven tonight and today, we see something very, very wonderful. To the people that are in heaven right now, they're praising the Lord. One of these days we're going to get to go and be there with them. But there is also that other place. There is that place called hell. Now, as much as hell is a prepared place, prepared for who, preacher? Prepared for the demons and for Satan. Do you know that heaven is prepared for those that are Christians, but hell was never prepared for a human being? That's why the Bible says that when people that do not accept Jesus Christ and they have to go to hell, that it's an eternal death. It is not something like we have death today. Whatever pain and travail that there is in death, it will be that eternally. Hell is a place, the Bible says, where the worm dieth not. I mentioned to you here, I don't know, it might have been last week, a couple weeks ago, you know, when the rain rains and the worms come out and get on your driveway, and then the sun comes up the next day and they dry up and they're stuck there. That's not the way it is in hell. The worm never dies in hell. The worm is always in agony, which means this, dear friend, that you, if you go to hell, you'll always be in agony, anguishing. Heaven is a prepared place also, and it's prepared for you. It was not prepared for the devil and his demons. The devil was cast out of heaven, friends. And demons were cast out with him when they came down. They were angels as well. And now he uses them as demonic forces in this world. And there right now, and you may not realize this, but even in this world right now, there is a battle raging between the demonic forces and the angelic host. That's why God has built a hedge about this church. That's why God has built a hedge around you as a child of God. That's why God gives you a guardian angel, dear friend, standing at bay every moment of the day and every moment of the night to safeguard you from the devil and his fiery darts and his demonic forces. Wow. Think about that. Think about right now the amount of angels that are standing guard at this church right here. Wow, what a blessing. Now, do not misunderstand me. Angels are not to be adored. Angels are not to be worshipped. I know that sometimes we put angels in our houses and things like that, but there's no reason to take a figurine of an angel, put it in your house, because if you're saved, there's already one there. Amen? A real one. The Bible even tells us that we need to be careful that sometimes we might be entertaining angels in unawares. There could be angels, and I believe there are, sitting in some of these empty pews right now. If you're sitting where there are no one sitting beside of you, there could be an angel sitting there right now. Be careful what you say or whisper out there. The angel hears it. There's an illustration I want to share with you. There was a little girl. She came home from Sunday school and she said this: "Mama, my Sunday school teacher told me that this world is only a place to live in for a little while so that you can prepare to go to heaven. But, Mother, I don't see anybody preparing for heaven. I see when you and Dad prepare to go to town. I see when we prepare to go to Aunt Jane's house. But I do not see anybody preparing to go to heaven. Mom and Daddy, why don't we get ready? That's a good question, isn't it? Why don't we get ready? Why are we really not preparing to go to heaven? You see, I'm wondering about that today. In our world, there are so many people that are walking astray away from God. They're walking in such a way that even if they were a Christian, that God could not recognize them as being His child. I've seen it in the Sunday school lesson this morning. I've seen it in the songs that have been sung here. They all allude to the very fact that one day, as a child of God, we're going to heaven. And if we know that we're going to heaven, why are we not preparing for that place? Why are we not working and doing what God has asked us to do? Number three, today I want you to look at the residents of heaven. Who populates heaven? Well, there are two parts to this answer. First, notice those who are not there. And then secondly, we're going to look at those who are there. So let's look first of all at those who are not there. You see, one thing that makes heaven, heaven, is sin is absent from it. There will no sin ever enter into heaven. There will no one in sin who is lost in sin, who has never accepted Jesus Christ, will ever enter into heaven. You cannot get there by your works. But yes, God does tell us when we're saved that we're supposed to work for God. Amen? But you will not get to heaven by coming to church. You will not get to heaven by putting money in the offering plate. You will not get to heaven by doing good deeds out there. Listen, dear friend, the only way to get to heaven is by and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, letting that cleanse you of your sin, you getting right with God and accepting Him by faith, by grace through faith, dear friends. It's the only way. And I'm afraid there are people trying to climb up a ladder somewhere to get to heaven. And by the way, listen, I love that song too, but angels are not holding up a ladder for you. Do you know that, friend? There's no ladder to get there. God's going to let us fly away one day. Well, praise the Lord. The persons who are not there. Well, number one, the unwritten are not there. Remember a while ago I read to you and I told you that in heaven, your name, if you're saved, is already written in heaven.
Right.
The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that's pretty blunt, isn't it? You see, the words, the book of life, occur seven times in the book of Revelation. Yes, there is a book. It's there, and God has it. And the names that are written in that book are the names that are truly saved. You cannot fool God. You might sit in these pews here. Others might sit in pews in other churches today and act as though that they're saved, even say that they're saved. But dear friend, unless you truly have accepted Jesus Christ in your heart and your life has been changed and you've become a new creature, you will not go to heaven. Now, I'm sorry. You cannot continue to live that lie when you stand in front of God. It must be real. And I'm afraid that there are a lot of people in our churches today, they've been fooled by some preacher. They've been fooled by some evangelist that came through. They've been fooled by someone who knocked on their door and said, hey, I want you to look at our literature for a little while. By the way, the unsaved are not there. They will never be there. They will stand and be cast away, but they'll not get to enter into heaven. But let's look at the persons who are there. First of all, God is there. Amen. And God is a spirit, but God is also a person. The city of the living God. Amen. the judge of all. The psalmist said it like this: the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Psalm says when we get to heaven, we get to God's throne room. I like that song, when we all get to heaven, amen? But the sad thing about it is everybody's not going. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 says the fact that heaven is a being where God's throne is. It's a place. Going to heaven without God is like a bride going on her honeymoon without her groom. Oh, goodness. A heaven without God would be like a palace without a king. If a king had a palace. Angels are there too. The Bible says that there are so many angels there that they cannot number them. They're innumerable company of angels. Fellow believers are there. Your friends and family that have died and gone on, they're in heaven. In Revelation 21, he says, the general assembly and church are the firstborn and the spirits of just men made perfect. Them which are saved. That's what Revelation 21 tells us. You see, one of these days, those that are saved are going to get to go home. My home, that city, my house, my mansion, I'm going there one day. The citizens of heaven are real people. They have bodies. The Bible tells us that when we rise up, that this body will no longer be, that we'll rise up and receive a glorified body, a body that was likened unto Christ when he ascended from the grave. When he ascended from the grave, he had a body that could actually walk through that wall. Now, I can walk to that wall right now, and the only way I'm going to walk through it is knocking myself out. I like to watch some of them home improvement shows on TV every once in a while, you know. And there's a show on there where the guy who's him and his wife, they decorate and redecorate stuff, you know. And I watch him and he shows his kids and he puts on a football helmet. And he tries to run through a brick wall or try to run through the wall, you know, to bust it down when they're destroying ends there to remodel. I don't think I want to do that. This physical body is going to get bruised and beat up if I do that. And I don't want to do that. So there's angels there. There's fellow believers there. And then the one that really makes it all worthwhile is our Lord and our Savior is there. Jesus promised his disciples, he said, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. For Christians to die is to be present with the Lord. To be absent in this body, God says, is to be present with him. And Paul says, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So, in other words, God says that desiring to go to heaven is a good thing. How many of y'all today want to go to heaven? Anybody? Do you really desire it? I say this, heaven is on my mind all the time. Brother Woody said something this morning in a Sunday school lesson that really rings loud and true. He said, you never know. He said, you may go home today and crash your car and be gone. Now, I don't want you to do that. Because I want you to enjoy the Lord while you're here on this earth. But if you go on and you're a Christian, you're going to enjoy things that's far better than here. So I look forward to that day. You know, I look forward to the day where I don't have to wear glasses, you know. I hate wearing glasses. I've been wearing glasses since I was in second grade. I'm 58, almost 59 years old. Now imagine that, you know. My body's breaking down. My shoulders ache. My elbows ache. My knees ache. My back aches. Sometimes my foot aches. I cramp all the time, you know. I'm a mess. But when I get to heaven and I get that new body, whoo, boy, I'm going to be moving around. Some people say it's a body that's likened to Christ at the time he died. which was a 33-year-old body. I might get a 33-year-old body again, and it probably won't have this in it. Whew! I'm looking forward to that. And we're going to get to eat manna when we get to heaven, you know? Isn't that going to be good? How many of y'all have ever eaten any manna? Anybody? No, you haven't, because it's not here now. It was at one time. God fed his people that way. But God's going to bless us and feed it to us in heaven. The Lord Jesus is there. And Jesus wants you to be in heaven too. Why? Because he loves you. He died for you. Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 hymns and gospel songs. The one our choir sung this morning was a song written by Fanny Crosby. A Christian friend asked her one day if she had any bitterness because she was blind. She said no. Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, I would have been born blind? She said, because it was in my blindness that I learned to seek God. And she said, I can see better today, God, than I ever could with eyes that see. And then she said this, because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. You see, dear friends, the first one we get to see in heaven is not mom and daddy and grandpa and grandma and Moses and Elijah and all those people. The first one we get to see in heaven is Jesus. Oh, when the gates open wide and we get to come into there, we're going to get to see Jesus and kneel at his feet. We sung that song, Bow Down. Oh, we're going to get to bow, dear friends. We're going to get to bow down at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at his feet. I kind of believe we're going to be like the woman who comes down and kisses his feet, you know, and takes her hair and cleanses his feet, because we're so happy to be there. Our world is in a mess, isn't it? And I honestly do not think that it can go much farther. We're in a terrible mess. We're coming up on an election here that, oh my goodness, friends, a fight and a struggle. What is America going to do? Well, my answer is this. America needs to trust in God. Amen. We need to get back to God. The only way we're going to ever get to heaven is getting back to God, dear friends. Heaven's Gate was an American cult based in San Diego. It was founded and led by Marshall Applewhite. 38 Heaven Gate members, plus a group leader, Applewhite, committed suicide in a ridden mansion in Rancho Santa Fe on March 26, 1997. The corpses underwent autopsies, and they found cyanide and arsenic. Heaven's Gate members believed that the planet Earth was about to be wiped out and that the only chance to survive was to leave it immediately. The group had many strange beliefs, as you can imagine, one of which was a quote, part of our test of faith is to be willing to leave without any proof of the next level of existence. Friends, you and I are going to leave this world one day. But we're not going to leave this world by suicide. We're not going to leave this world by some crazy religion or some crazy cult that we're in. And by the way, Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is the only one true religion in this world, dear friends. And one of these days, we're going to get to go to heaven because of that. And we're leaving not the way they said. Let me ask you something, dear friend. Heaven has been prepared for you Are you preparing to go there? And if you are, you're going to find some blessedness. And you're going to find some peace there. Peace like you've never had before. I simply want to share this message with you today because I want you to be ready to go. Because I really believe that the Lord's coming back very soon. And when He comes back, you're not going to have time to get ready. You're not going to have time to run down to the church and bow at the altar then. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get right, dear friends. Do not wait. Do not wait. The Bible tells us about a night coming one day when a man can't work anymore. And there was a song written about it. Work, for the night is coming when man works no more. We need to be ready to go. Quit getting caught up in all the silly idiocies of our world today. And let's make sure that we're preparing for heaven. Prepare for heaven, Christian friend of mine. Lost person, get ready to go. Decide if you're going to go up or you're going down. That's your choice. I can't force you. I can't make you. It has to be your heart. You have to want it. My question to you today is, do you want it? Do you want to go to heaven? With every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, as we come before your throne of grace today, Lord, it is my desire only here today not to hurt people or harm them, but Father, to share the truth of your word. Lord, hell is a real place, but heaven is also a real place. And I believe sometimes, Lord, we just don't talk enough about heaven. And Father, I believe today in your word you've shown us that heaven is real. And that you're real. The angels are real. There's real people there. It's a place where we can be comforted, a place that we can live forever in all the glory and blessing that you've prepared for us there. And anything that we can believe that is there is far better, Lord, when we get there than what we even think. I believe John, when he described it, and he described something to the best of his knowledge of words that he had, but Father, I believe it was even better than that. So Father, help us today. Help me as pastor. Lord, help me prepare myself and help these folks to prepare themselves. It's my job, Lord, to lead these here. Father, help me to walk truly. Help me to walk steadfastly. And help these dear precious friends of mine. Father, help them to walk the same way. Lord, may we get ready for this, because it's coming soon, and we need to be there. Now, Father, if there be someone in this crowd today that is lost, I ask God that you would help them. I ask God that you would help them make that decision. Now, friends, with your head bowed and your eyes still closed, I'm going to ask you this. I want you to listen closely. I want you to be honest. Is there someone in this service today that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Please raise your hand so I can pray for you. Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, and I want to know for sure. Will you raise your hand and let me know? Dear friends, let me ask you this question. Say, preacher, I have been saved, and I, like you, am looking for heaven. I'm looking for it to come pretty soon. Will you slip your hand up right now so I can rejoice with you? God bless you. God bless you and you. All right, put them down. You see, this is important today that we know this. It's important today to know that I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm not turning back. God loves you today, dear friends. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for your goodness. I ask you now, Father, to take charge as we leave this place. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear friends, if you would please stand. We're going to sing just one stanza today of the song. And And whatever that song is, I just want you to sing it. Praise God with your fellow listeners out here. And let's just honor God today. Amen. And rejoice in the fact that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. Amen. When we sing these songs, that song that the choir sung a while ago, Pastor Clarence Sexton, he's passed away here recently. He used to be the pastor of Temple Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee. And Clarence Sexton, every time he'd sing that song, when it says hallelujah, he said, it's got an exclamation point in there. He said, just shout it out, hallelujah! Amen. Because we know we're on our way to heaven. If you know you're on your way to heaven, dear friends, just shout it out today.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing.
471.